Good evening.
Good evening. This is Marie.
Nice to speak to you. I hope you're having a good Sukkot.
Oh yes, it was very nice. But we had a lot of rain. We couldn't go out. But it's cleared up now, so it'll be okay. Things will be better now.
Of course.
How are you?
I'm doing well, Baruch Hashem.
Well,
Sukkot, it's a very special holiday. It's a holiday of joy.
Yes, it is. I always laugh a lot this time of year.
Exactly.
And that's what I need to do. I need to laugh a lot more. Are you enjoying your new residence?
The answer is yes, because I'm able to do the work that I could do. So,
I'm able to
attract other people who are in pain, who need the tools of Kabbalah. So, I'm doing. When you're doing what you know to be the right thing for you to do, then it's very easy to become joyful.
That's true. Not many people get to do that, though.
Well, more and more. Once you learn the tools of Kabbalah, you'll find that starts to happen for you as well.
Well, I'm truly looking forward to that.
Welcome to the class.
Thank you.
We'll be starting in a minute or two. I know I'm just giving the people a couple more minutes to arrive. Actually, why don't we just start with the Ana B'Koach? Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, Gedulat Yemincha, Katzid Berurah. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as the name of God, Bav Shin Resh, and the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Kacharenu No Ra Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means tear up, and Satan, which is the name of the force, the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, two other Hebrew letters that mean small gates. And this is a hint to us to guard our gates, which are our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth. Na Gibor. For the first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, have a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan. And that Hebrew word means parnasah, sustenance, the fulfillment of all desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us to take back the energy we've given to the negative system through our mistakes. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing and take that body part back to its stem cell state, which is the Keter level, the seed level, which lets us heal those cells and reform that body part back to its pristine status, just as if it was a newborn, where it's working properly, and then take it back into our body, totally healed, totally restored, and let it work as it is supposed to work. That when it's working properly, it is receiving its form of pleasure. We don't think like that about body parts. But when we're doing what we know to be right for us, that's when we get pleasure. The same thing applies on the micro level, on a body part. A heart was born to pump blood, was created to pump blood. Lungs were created to exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide. When they are doing that properly, they receive pleasure, whatever the form of pleasure for that level of consciousness is. Barchem Tacharem Rakamehitzitzam. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah Netzach and its attribute of eternal victory. This sequence has two letters in the middle, Reish and Tzadi, which has a gematria of 290, which is the gematria of the name Miriam. And it's a hint to us what Miriam the prophetess, who acted as a midwife, who was very instrumental in saving or keeping Moshe alive. Her actions as a prophetess were very significant. And whenever someone needs to be pregnant because of their strong desire and they're having difficulty, this is a person to reach out to. This is a tzaddiket, a righteous person to reach out to assist you, to intercede in the upper courts so that that action of pregnancy can take place. All of the matriarchs in Judaism had difficulty conceiving. All of them had to go through various stages. Sarah had to give Hagar her handmaid. Rivka had to wait 20 years praying for a child. Rachel had to watch her sister and even share her sister with her husband. All of this sharing consciousness is related in those two letters of Reish and Tzadi. One interpretation of that, those two letters, they spell the word Raz, meaning secret. And one of the secrets is to realize that Reish represents the head, the beginning, and Tzadi represents what is right. All of that is built into this Sefirah Netzach. Chassid Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'ezim Adaka Het Kufet Het Lenayim. This sequence connects to the Sefirah Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. The letters of the month, the pay, that is the letter that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus. The Pe, that in the Asherit script, in the holy script that the Torah uses, the Pe that means mouth, the Pe that has a concealed bet within it, a bet for blessing, which is what our mouths should be saying all the time. But we have free choice, so sometimes we say things that are not so blessed. But the seed level is in that word pay, that letter pay, with the bet inside. And the Lamed that created the constellation Mosnayim, the scale, the Libra. The pay is the mouth. The Lamed is the teacher. How do you teach your mouth to say blessings? Through your study of the Kabbalah, through your study of Torah. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium, during this, our generation. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tiakatenu, Go The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400, representing completion and perfection. The last four letters have a gematria of 506, exactly like the first verse, hinting to us of how the end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end, how it creates a circle, hinting to us that the path to completion, the path to perfection, is through unconditional love, Ahavatinam. And now we're going to read the verse from Samuel Bet that will bring peace in the Middle East during this year of 5774. This year of 57, the third verse, the first three letters, Parnassah, sustenance. This year of being a witness. This year of knowledge. The last two letters, spelled one way, is the word witness. Spelled another way, it's the word knowledge. Sustenance from knowledge. Knowledge of sustenance. Where does sustenance come from? It comes from Hashem. This is what will be learned by people during this year. V'santi makom le'ami Yisrael untati v'chakan v'achtal v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto v'asher barishona. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. But I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. I'm going to read from the Zohar? A verse from the prologue, the Hakdamah, the introduction to the Zohar. And in Hebrew writing, the introduction, the Hakdamah, is the essence of what's in the book. The Zohar is the essence of the Torah. The Zohar, what is the essence of the Zohar? It's in its Hakdamah. Each section that we read in the prologue, in the introduction, has tremendous aspects of teaching us what the Torah is all about. I'm reading from section 14, the Night of the Bride, which is Sukkot. Not Sukkot, I'm sorry. It's Shavuot. Why would Shavuot be included in the Hakdamah, in the introduction? Because Shavuot is when the Torah was revealed to Moshe and to the Jewish people and to the 70 nations. Everybody got it at the same time. This verse, and he slew an Egyptian, is explained in another place at a different level in this way. He opened the discussion by saying, and he slew an Egyptian, a man of good stature, 5 cubits high. This is and all are related to the same secret. This Egyptian is that one who is known and is described by the verse, very great in the land of Egypt, in the eyes of the servants. As he is great and honored, this is how the old man described him. Because you haven't read the whole section, this verse has links to different paragraphs that we read earlier in the Zohar. So to explain it would take an extensive amount of time. I'm just going to say this verse is applying to the beginning. This verse is applying to the removal of limitations, which is what allows us to be joyful. When you're living in the Sukkah, when you're connecting to the energy of Sukkot, to Shmini Atzeret, to Simchat Torah, when you're learning how to be joyful, when in the physical illusion, it's painful and suffering. This verse is giving you the energy to see the joy in those moments. Does anybody have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Today's class is class number 14, or actually class number 16 in this class, because we've had two other classes out of sequence. But this class is about a very simple concept, tikkun, correction. This class is teaching you how complex correction is, and yet at the same time how simple correction is. This class is teaching you how to find the tools to know your own correction. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom page of Yashem in Basic Class 14. The left column, Class 14, click on it, and there is a handout that is an example of what we provide to people, and we're very late in doing it. And yes, I would like to get it automated, but that takes donations and funds, which when the world is ready for it, when the world is ready for this information to be presented to them on the internet, where anybody can process it and become aware of it. And that will happen as part of this knowledge year. This is what is happening. But in the meantime, those of you who have the merit to study the Kabbalah, I'm starting to read this page. And this is just an example, so please understand that. But each person can receive all of the information that comes here to help them understand themselves and know what their corrections are. Not how to make the correction, because no one can say to you, next Tuesday at 3:00 in the afternoon, you're going to meet somebody and you need to do this to that person. You need to hand them a glass of water. You need to smile at them. You need to say hello to them as you pass them driving in the car. No one can say that, because if they did, there's no removal of bread of shame. And chas v'shalom, you'd have to come through another lifetime to be given another opportunity to make that same correction. Every person who has ever lived on this earth has had tikkunim, or corrections. This means every person has made mistakes in their life journeys. They may have hurt someone directly or through inaction, allowed someone to become hurt. These are just descriptions of two possible mistakes that people have made in their life. There are many more possible mistakes, and each person has many of these mistakes to correct in each lifetime that they live. These mistakes are called tikkuns, or in Hebrew plural, tikkunim. The translation of this word means correction. When called a tikkun, and corrections when called tikkunim, singular and plural. Below is a matrix that has many links that are explaining what Kabbalah says about your specific tikkun. One example of a tikkun that is shared is the month of your birth. Every person who is born in that same month, no matter what year or on which day, has a similar tikkun. Every box in the matrix will lead you to information about your tikkunim. We at Hashem hope you enjoy what the Kabbalah teaches us about ourselves. We hope you enjoy it, but it is not meant to be easy. This is all part of the process of learning. The human being was created not to be a human being. The human being was created to start out as a child, a human being, and become an adult. What is the meaning of an adult? To be godlike, to be holy, to be divine. Please note, all of this material is a work in progress. please check back when you get your own specific page. Please keep checking back, because there will be things added to this. Because this lifetime is a work in progress. The links on these pages will take you either lower on this same page or to a different page. When you are finished with that particular section or page, then click on the back link that you will return to this location. Do not use the back button on your browser. If you ever have any questions or comments, please send me an email or call me at the number 818-613-3457. Please notice the matrix that's in front of you. It has five columns. It has seven rows. The last row represents tools that will assist you in finding out your correction. We've discussed the 72 name charts and the charts with your own name intertwined within them. We've discussed the Book of Adam, but I haven't created them for many of you in this class. One, because I haven't had the requests, but now it's time. If you've been utilizing the Anabakoa and you've been scanning or reading the 72 names of God and the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, if you've been doing that daily for the last 3 months that we've been in class, send me an email and make the request. These tools are available for you, and we will start creating this matrix for you. Let's start with the first row, the left column, general information. Below is a tremendous amount of light. What's in that matrix is a tremendous amount of light. It is not complete yet, since your life, thank God, continues. As long as you're in this earth, you have the opportunity to create more tikkunim, more corrections by making mistakes, chas v'shalom, or to make the corrections themselves and fix the world. Elevate the sparks. All of these are metaphors for understanding what is a tikkun. Please be cautious with this light, since it is energy, and people have been known to allow themselves to be burned by excess energy. Read the following slowly. Implement it into your life even slower. Please use the information wisely. As time permits, we will continue to update this information. We hope you enjoy it. I'm going to skip through this because there is so much material in this matrix. I'm now going back to the matrix. The second column, first row, what is tikkun? Generally, people have many tikkunim to achieve. Tikkunim is the plural of tikkun, which means corrections, to understand. Tikkun, generally, we need to have some information about reincarnation and the laws of reincarnation. Each human being participated in the action that is described in the first few chapters of Genesis in the Bible. I am referring to what is referred to as eating of the apple by Adam and Chava. I know the first response to that statement is, I wasn't even there. No, you were there. As part of the 613 parts of Adam and Chava's soul and body, you are getting a hint about the complexity of reincarnation, which we are presently learning about on Tuesday evenings. We're in the 27th class of what I expect to be close to 200 classes. Each part of the soul has five aspects called nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. These Hebrew words translate as animal soul, spirit, soul name, living soul, unified soul. Each part of the body also has divisions. Remember, this is all illusion because we each are connected to and unified with the vessel from the endless world. Yet while we are in this physical world, we perceive things as separated, not unified. And therefore, we see each other as not me. So which part of the body and souls of Adam and Eve are you from? Most people do not know and do not spend the time to find out. Kabbalah can teach you generally how to find out. What are your physical, emotional, and personality characteristics? These are hints as to which part of the parts of Adam and Eve you came from. All males come from Adam. All females come from Eve. Do you have a great singing voice? You came from the voice box of Adam or Chava. Do you have great athletic ability? You come from the parts of Adam and Eve connected to those traits. Running speed is legs. Arm strength comes from arms. To find out specifically which part of the body and soul of Adam and Chava you are connected to takes training in listening to your intuitive self. If you want to know the answer, start taking the classes on the Hidden Wisdom part of the website. Now we have to complicate reincarnation a little bit. Cain and Abel are the right and left shoulders of Adam and Chava. Cain and Abel had twin sisters. In the case of Abel, he had two twin sisters. Females come from the sisters, males from Cain and Abel. These three sets of people, which are really three complete souls, are considered as the roots of mankind. A soul is both male and female together in unity. One without the other is incomplete and is not considered a complete human being. If one traces one's roots of one soul to Cain or to Abel, then one does not have to trace into Adam, because they are the shoulders of Adam, and you know your soul root within Adam. Each person comes to this world with two tikkunim. One is a personal tikkun that only he or she may do, no one else. Once someone completes his or her tikkun and stops reincarnating, one is waiting for the rest of the people to complete their tikkun, because no one else can achieve it. It must be accomplished by the individual, him or herself. The other tikkun each person has is a joint tikkun from the part of Adam, Cain, or Abel that one comes from. Other people can achieve this tikkun for you if you are lazy and don't want to do this work. That is why Mordechai told Esther, if you don't go into King Ahasuerus, Hashem will utilize someone else to save the Jewish people. He was referring to this part of Esther's tikkun. Esther was a reincarnation of Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Sarah was a reincarnation of Chava. But which part of Chava? Perhaps the heart. The above information comes from the writings of Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, by his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. This is the wisdom that is available to you within the study of Kabbalah, not just about Esther and Sarah, but about yourself. As each person reincarnates, each time they reincarnate and do not complete the task assigned, they divide into what are called sparks. We cannot tell the difference between a spark and the original, but the job of the spark is shared with five other sparks, and the job is therefore easier to accomplish. This happens after three or four incarnations with the same task, the same tikkun to accomplish. If not accomplished, that person splits into six sparks who share the task, making it easier to do. This is actually the source of population growth. Two final points about reincarnation. Each part of Adam, Cain and Abel, has 613 parts, and each of those parts have five parts as described above. Therefore, as an example, the part of my soul in my right palm came to this world to correct how it shares tzedakah with people. Does it make them reach for the money, or does it reach out to them? This part of my body has 613 aspects and five parts of the soul within each aspect, and all are considered sparks of our soul. There is no such thing as coincidence. Each person born on the same day, or the same day of the week, or the same month, or the same generation, you will see what is meant by the word generation, has similar tikkunim. The Kabbalists have given us the tools to know what these tikkunim are about. In every incarnation, there is a possibility of falling spiritually, or hurting someone through a direct action, or even through a non-action. Perhaps you were supposed to stop and assist someone to cross the street, and you felt yourself to be too busy. Guess what? You now have another tikkun, or correction to do later in this lifetime, or perhaps in another lifetime. In the tikkun matrix, there are many different hints and information about your specific tikkunim. Below are the various tikkun hints expressed in the matrix. Each of these hints has an explanation. We suggest you read the explanation just before you go to your own information, which comes from clicking on the links in the matrix that is created for your name and your birth date, time, and location. One final point about reincarnation and tikkunim. Your soul chooses your moment of birth. Your soul chooses your parents and the environment of family that they create. Your moment of birth sets up the best astrological influences that bring you to particular situations with other people that gives you an opportunity to make your tikkun. The parents and family environment you choose are the best possible people to assist you in learning your life lessons. That is why you choose them. Perhaps it is to learn what not to do. Other times it is to learn what to do. This is why tikkunim are so difficult to understand logically. This is because we do not remember what is the exact reason for the need to have this particular situation or attitude for us to learn or to learn by. If we did have that information, then doing the action would not remove bread of shame. Now we can return back. It's easier just to close the open web page and you will be returned. I'd like you to take a look at the whole matrix. I'm going to read some of them. Some of them I'm going to open up. I'm going to discuss them. The order that I'm reading them is not necessarily the order that you should read them when you get your personal chart. The question is, what interests you? What are you attracted to? And that will be the section that you'll start with. Tikkun based on your birth location of Tucson. This is an example page. Wherever you were born, you have an affinity to the energy of that place. Let me explain it to you with a metaphor, with an example. The Holy Temple was built in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a village that nobody really knew about, but King David was directed to make it his capital. King David was directed to start to prepare the Holy Temple. He wanted to build it, but because he spent much of his life in war and in conflict, he could not build the temple. The temple needed to be based on peace, not war. The city it was put in is named Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a name that comes from two Hebrew words. One is Yirah, meaning awe of the Creator. Not fear of the Creator, awe, just being overwhelmed with how amazing the system is, how amazing the process is, how amazing your life can be. Awe. And Shalem, which many people make the mistake and say, oh, it's Shalom. It's Jerusalem. Read the Torah, look at the Hebrew. Many times, it's Yerushalayim, Shalem. Shalem is the root of the word Shalom. Shalom, we know, means peace. Shalem, its root, means completion. Completion of awe. This is the place that the Holy Temple was built. So was the Holy Temple built there because the place is holy? Or was the fact that the Holy Temple was built there, does that make the place holy? It's a simple question that people do not ask. It's a simple question that when you study Kabbalah, the answer will become informative to you. The answer to that question is the place has an intrinsic level of connection. Why you were born in the city that you were born, or the country where you were born, or the place that you were born, all relates to your tikkun. It's all connected. There's no coincidence. So where we learn from that is the Hebrew name, the Hebrew letter spelling of the place you were born. It tells us about the energy of that place, which hints to you about your correction. And then in the course of your life, you moved from one city to another. You went from one location to another. There's no coincidence. There's a reason why you moved. Why you moved to that place. Some people will tell me, oh, it's because I had a new job. Oh, I went to school there. These are all physical explanations. Spiritually, you moved to a different location because you had sparks to elevate. You had a reason for being there as part of your tikkun. And again, the more you know about the places you've lived, the more you learn about your tikkun. The last box in the matrix Row 1, column 5. Tzadikim who left on your birthday. You chose that day to be born. The Tzadikim chose that day to leave the world. There is an energy connection between you. The more you learn about the Tzadikim that are born on your birthday, who died on your birthday, the more you will understand the energy of the birthday, the more you will understand about your tikkun. On the Yeshem website, in the middle of the section on the right that says inquiries, it says Hilula Yortzeit, Day of Joy. That link will take you to a page where you can find your tzadikim that left on the day you were born. You have to convert your date, your birth date, your Western birthday into your Hebrew birthday. And that can be done easily on the Hashem, not the Hashem website, but the Daily Zohar website. It has a page specifically designed to give you your Hebrew date. It has a page specifically designed to give you additional information, but it isn't explained on that website how to use that information. That's explained in this matrix. The tikkun for your year that you are born. You chose that year to be born. Just as we've revealed that 5774 has these different energies, including the potential for having peace in the Mideast, we also learned from your birth year, the energy of that year, the correction of all of the people born in that year, the connection to a generation that has that as its birth year. What is a generation? There's a generation of 70 years. Everybody born in a 70-year period has a similar correction. There's a generation of 50 years. There's a generation of 42 years. There's a generation of 26 years, of 36 years, of 32 years. There's a generation of 17 years, 18 years. There's a generation of 10 and of 13. Each of these add to your tikkun. Each of these you share with tikkunim. You share these tikkunim with people of that generation. Tikkun for your birth month is already on the website under the Mazel Knowledge page. You were born in a particular Hebrew month. That month has a particular tikkun. It's available for you to read on the website. Every day of the month, if you were born on the 28th of a particular month, then someone born on the 28th day in another month has a similar tikkun. But you both have different tikkunim from your birth months. The day of the week that you are born, you share with every other person born on that day of the week. But at the same time, you have unique tikkunim from all of these other aspects. The third row. Your name will give you a tikkun as you It will give you hints towards your tikkun. As you permutate the letters of your name, it will give you information. It will give you words in Hebrew that are your essence. Just as I have explained to you about my name, Hanoch, having to be teaching the hidden wisdom of Hashem. That is built into the permutation of my letters of my name. That's how I learn what my correction is, what my task in life with is, which is a correction. There are other tasks, like handing somebody a glass of water when asked. That is a different kind of correction, but similar idea of tasks. Every name has energy verses from the Torah. Every energy verse is Hashem speaking to you. This is one level of intuition. This is one level to understand and receive hints about what you are to do in this lifetime. What is your task? What is your tikkun? What is your correction? Your name, your locations have gematria. These gematriot gives you deeper levels of understanding. We can substitute letters. When we substitute letters in the name, we get different Hebrew words. Another hint, another level of understanding your tikkun. Does it feel like the tikkunim is overwhelming and unending? The answer is no, there is an end. There is a completion. But as long as you're in this world, there's more to make changes. There's more to correct. And these levels help you understand that, help you understand what you are to do. But there's one simple, simple explanation of how to know what is your tikkun. Whatever you find difficult to do, that is your tikkun. Whatever task you have to do that is difficult for you to do, that's your tikkun. It's a very simple rule. But I want to know more. Okay, yesterday it was difficult for me to get out of bed. Getting out of bed yesterday was your tikkun for the day. Do you think other people had that same tikkun? Yes. Did it apply to the month you were born, or did it apply to the day of the month? That's intellectual understanding. That's what the hints are in this matrix. Just know what is difficult for you to do at any given moment. That is your connection and your correction at that moment. Continuing to read the matrix. The day you were born, there was a Shabbat that at the end of that day, the end of that week. You're born on Monday, that next Shabbat. You're born on Friday, the next day. You're born on Shabbat, that day. Whatever Torah portion was written, was read in the synagogue on that day of your birth, that Torah portion has information about your correction. Each Torah portion read on Saturday has seven aliyot, seven aspects, seven sections that are read. Each of those seven connect to a day of the week. So if you were born on Monday, then the second Aliyah, the second reading, will have more information for you about your correction. Every week I write an email, which I hope you signed up for or will sign up for, on the Yeshem website. The location of signing up for that email is either on the right column where it says newsletter, sign up, or at the top of the page, you'll see the word newsletter. Click on that link and put in your email, and then choose what information you find interesting. Every week I send out an email. Every month I send out an email. And every year, when I have time, I send out an email. And those three forms are giving you the energy of that period, the energy of that aspect, of that parasha, that portion. But that's related to your tikkun. So go read the previous emails of your parasha. Find out what is significant, what energy is involved. These are hints for you to learn. There is a link here in the fifth row, the fourth column. Ruling planet teaches times for ritual. This information helps you know when is the best time for you to pray for what you desire. It helps you know because it changes. It changes. That's what a cycle is, change. That's what your lifetime is all about, change. And this chart gives you information about how to know when is the best time on a given day for you to do rituals or for you to do actions that will help you achieve your tikkun. Now the box to the right of that, the fifth row, the fifth column, it says North Node Tikkun. When you were born, you chose the moment to be born. That moment includes a North Node and a South Node, which is the point where the moon crosses the ellipse of the orbit. When your south node is telling you what mistakes you made in your last lifetime, your north node is telling you what life lessons you came to learn, how you need to change yourself, what character traits you need to adapt, accept, enforce, reinforce. This chart I recommend that everyone get. I recommend that this chart, this tikkun, North Node tikkun, helps you understand yourself better than any other box on the matrix. But you decide what's important for you, what you're attracted to. Your astrological information, and I need to stress, the North Node is not your sun sign, it's not your moon, it's not your rising sign. It's something totally different. So that I can be a Sagittarius sun sign with a Gemini moon and an Aquarius rising sign, but my North Node is in Taurus. Last lifetime, the mistakes I made were that of a Scorpio, which is why so many people in my life both parents, one sister, one daughter, one next wife are Scorpios, Scorpio sun sign. So that I'm constantly seeing that mirror of those aspects of change. This is how the system works. And this is how you need to begin to understand cause and effect. A Pisces sun sign will have a different cocoon than a Pisces moon sign, because your sun sign represents how the world sees you, while the moon sign represents how you are internally. And the rising sign represents a lens of balance between the two. That's what the sixth row is all about. I have covered the chart, the matrix, very quickly, very briefly. Each of them has instructions and general understandings. You can see how complex and yet how simple it is. Why do I say it's simple? Because much of this you can do on your own. It doesn't need to be in this chart. This chart was designed for people who have not studied Kabbalah. So there's a lot of that information you already know to be true in this chart and in this discussion. By the same token, it never hurts to cover those same subjects again, to reinforce it. We all have hundreds of tikkunim, mistakes that we have made over the lifetimes. We all have them. We all need to correct them. And ultimately, unless you know who you were in your last lifetime, you will never be able to complete your tikkun. This is not my words. These are the teachings of the Kabbalist, essentially Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Arizal. But how do you find out your last lifetime is in that box I just discussed with you. North node tikkun, who you were in your south node, tells you the mistakes you made. The information is there for you. All you have to do is have a desire to receive it and to send me an email and ask for it. You've been studying with me for 3 months. Some of you less, some of you more. And yes, I am way behind in sending out these things, but the sooner you get your name on my list to do, the sooner you're going to receive it. And many times I can give you work to do, tikkunim to understand now, rather than wait till the chart is complete, bits and pieces, step by step. I hope you will take advantage of this information. I hope you will make this knowledge in your life. Remember the difference between information and knowledge. It's a part of the class, first class. There's a monsoon in China. That monsoon is going to impact the price of rice. I read about it in the paper. For my life, I don't eat much rice. It's not going to impact my life hardly at all. So I see that the headlines and the story, this is information to me. But I have a friend who's a commodity trader, and his livelihood depends on his knowing what the price of rice will do. And when that monsoon hits, it impacts his livelihood directly. For him, that information is knowledge. He uses it to act on. He has to have that experience to know what to do with it. This is knowledge, as opposed to me using the same piece of information as an interesting aspect of life. I hope, I pray, that you all will take this information that you've been given in this class and implement it as knowledge in your life. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If your soul chooses when to be born and who to be born to and stuff like that, when does your soul enter the body?
Exactly on the 90th day after conception. But it doesn't settle into the body. Let me finish.
Okay.
But it doesn't settle into the body until birth. So it is possible for a female soul to come into the body on the 90th day, and that soul is then exchanged at the moment of birth as part of the tikkun for both of those souls. I don't want to spend a lot of time in this class talking about it. I invite you to join the class or to receive the recordings for the reincarnation class, the advanced reincarnation class, where that will be taught and explained in much more detail.
Okay.
But it's also why the halakha says that a married couple is not to have intercourse on the 90th day after conception. And for most people, they don't know when the 90th day after conception is. But if you are following the cycles and the family purity regulations of Jewish law, you do know when conception takes place because you can calculate it. And modern doctors do a good job of calculating it, but it's not as accurate as the Jewish woman who's been prepared with family purity. She knows her own cycle. She knows when she became pregnant. She knows the 90th day, and she will not have intercourse that night, that day.
So is that also why most miscarriages, the miscarriages that happen, are usually early in the first trimester? Because that 90th day marks the end of the first trimester?
Yes.
Okay.
Literally, people who have intercourse on the 90th day are killing their own child, God forbid.
Oh, God.
Any other questions? I shouldn't say that that doesn't definitely happen, but it can happen. So it's not always, but that is the reason for many miscarriages.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Oh, that's the reason for many miscarriages?
It's not the only reason. It's not the only reason, but it's a reason for many.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking that if the soul's not in the body then really it is just it's not the person yet until the third month, right?
Correct.
The soul's not in.
And that's why the Talmud refers to it not as it refers to it as the feces as a murderer. Because that body is just total desire to receive for oneself alone. It just wants to consume its mother. but it really doesn't want to consume its mother. It wants to consume the resources that the mother provides. And that's why the sages of the Talmud call it a murderer.
Interesting. Okay.
Any other questions?
How come the south node isn't part of this tikkun?
Because there's a relationship between the north node, which is your life lessons for this lifetime, and your south node, which are the mistakes you made. Once you correct mistakes from last lifetime, but there's every north node has a connection to its south node. So once you know the north node, you also know the south node.
Okay, you can infer one from the other.
So the space in writing, I don't need to put both.
Okay. That sounds good. Do you
any
have
other
any
questions?
Other?
I'm sorry.
Well, I was just wondering if you had any of those other, if you have those other ones done. Oh, I have a question about the Shabbat. It has to be the Shabbat from the year, or just your day. You have to have your whole
birthday. It's the Shabbat of the year you were born.
The Shabbat of the year. Okay. Okay.
So actually, it's the Shabbat of the week of the year that you were born.
Right.
Now, you started to ask another question and then switch. So do you remember what that was, or somebody else want to ask a question?
Not a question, but something I found when working with the students, and that was that occasionally there were one or two people who were born after Shabbat, you know, and the secular calendar, and they, you know, we actually had to go to the next week's Torah portion because on the Hebrew calendar it was really the next day.
Of course. I mean, that's why if you go to the Daily Zohar and get the connection and type in the birth date, the question it asks is, were you born before or after sunset?
Mm-hmm.
And when you answer, it defines the day in the Hebrew calendar. If you're born Motzi Shabbat, after Shabbat, you're already into the next week. If somebody
some don't
is born
know.
Thursday
no.
night, they're born on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, some wouldn't know the time of birth, and so it was, you know, they had to be told, well, if you ever find out, just realize that
well, there are.
There's a possibility the next day is your birthday. You know, is your day.
There is a series of questions to be asked that the Western astrologers use to determine better information when there is no birth time known. But in the last 70, 80 years, I won't say that many. In the last 50 years in this country. 60 years in this country, someone born in this country has a birth time from their birth certificate. And that's true of most of the Western world. It's not true in some of the other countries. And, and it's not true of people born in hospitals and so forth. But if you get a person early enough in their life, the first 25, 30 years, typically there's somebody around who hasn't passed who remembers whether it was daytime or nighttime. So there are ways to find out. Any other questions?
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
If a female... so you were saying that all female souls are from Eve, or Hava?
Yes.
And the male souls are from Adam?
Yes.
Or Cain? Now, I didn't quite get that you there also you also have to find out if you're from Cain or Abel or the twin sisters?
What? Let's start at the beginning. The beginning, Adam was created, and he was created with Eve as an internal aspect. And Eve and Adam were created back to back, which means don't visualize two spines back to back, Eve hanging off of him. Visualize internally, her face was looking backwards. And his face was looking forwards. That's why we don't have eyes in the back of our head, because a soul, a human being, complete human being, is a male and a female together. That is the way we were created, back to back. Eve looking backwards and Adam looking forwards. And then we went through a process, which people refer to as an operation, where his rib was taken. But those are code words. We go through an operation where Eve, the internal aspect, became a woman separated in the illusion from the male. So when I say all males come from Adam, I'm referring to this after the separation. All females come from Eve after the separation. Now they had children, the two children of Cain and Abel, but they had those children after the sin. And so the certain souls went into Cain and Abel. Certain sparks of the soul of Adam and Chava, who participated in the sin, fell along with everybody else, but they reincarnated while at the same time being in Adam's body while he lived, they reincarnated into Cain and Abel. That's very difficult for people to truly understand, and that's why the study of reincarnation takes a lot of time. When Cain and Abel were born, these souls that came from Adam and Eve went into Cain, Abel, and the three twin sisters.
Okay.
Now, Cain came from the left shoulder of Adam. Abel came from the right shoulder of Adam. Well, how did the shoulder participate in the sin? We don't really know what the sin is. We call it eating of the apple, but that's a metaphor. What was the sin? There are many discussions in Kabbalah of what was the sin. But Cain and Abel and Adam, this three people, represent the root of all the souls of Adam. So if you trace yourself back to Cain or to Abel, then you don't need to go to Adam. You already know that he's the shoulder.
Oh,
but
okay.
They each, Adam performed a sin and everything fell. Then Cain and Abel performed sins and everything fell further.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use these three as the roots of all humanity. And then everybody was destroyed in the flood. So we use the root of Noah and his three children, which is why there are three races, which I discuss in this week's parasha, in the energy of this week's parasha, because most people don't realize that the three children of Noah were triplets.
Okay, we got that part.
So I hope it's clear now. If it's not, it's a long study. It's not easy to absorb. But that's why we're taking it slowly in these classes.
It happens that in your example, you talked about a singing voice and that you came from Baba's voice box. And that example just happens to fit me, but I can't stop there, right? I have to keep because there's other sparks.
That's just one aspect of one part of yourself. It's a hint to you about where you come from, but you have to remember that your soul is composed of 613 parts, and each of those parts has 5 levels, and each of those levels and those parts are considered sparks. So your voice box could be a spark of Eve, while your leg could be a spark of another part of her, because there's a way where the souls don't reincarnate together. They have to go separately until they complete their tikkun, and then they reincarnate together. It's a very complicated process that I don't want to spend any more time in this class, because it's done in the advanced reincarnation class, and those recordings are online, and you can start learning and catch up. And just start tomorrow night listening, and you'll have questions, and I appreciate that. But knowing where you come from comes from your north and south node, and that is sufficient to know what your tikkun is. But your tikkun is different for every part of your soul. But there may be an overall aspect of that tikkun, and that's what's being explained in your North Node report.
Okay. All right. I get it now.
Any other questions?
Yes. I'm wondering about, you made the comment that the rib is a code word, which assuming is part of the language of branches.
Correct.
Has anyone come up with a list of the code words in the language of branches?
Yes. The dictionary is called the Zohar.
So that means going through 22 volumes.
As you read the Zohar, you read the language of branches.
Okay. No simplified version that says rib, code word for.
No, I can tell you the rib is a code word for the Sefer Al-Bina. The word for rib in Adam has a gematria of 50, so we learn that it's related to Bina. It's describing that Chava was the internal aspect of Adam. That means she was the Malchut of Adam. So how does a woman get connected to Bina? And that was done when this operation took place, meaning that Eve was separated from Adam, and the code word rib says God injected her with a connection, a stronger, more direct connection to the Sefer Bina, and a man doesn't have that. And that's why a woman is higher spiritually, because she's connected to Bina. That's why the woman lights the candles Friday night, because she's connected to Bina and needs to draw that light from Bina. And at the same time, she's connected to Malchut. And that's why we get the adage that a woman can build a man or destroy him. She can either bring him down spiritually from his level of Zeranpin, she can bring him down to Malchut, or she can help elevate him to Bina. And all of that is built into the code word rib.
So when I eventually get these body parts translated into Hebrew, I should make me another column with gematria, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Not just one column, 14 columns.
Oh, my.
There's 14 levels of gematria.
I'm going to have to live 300 years. Maria, I hear you laughing. I need you as my partner.
Well, I'll try to live as long as I possibly can.
Well, for the most part, souls do reincarnate as soul groups, as families. family groups, not in the sense of who bears a child, but in the relationships. For the simple reason, you know, it sounds like a physical reason, but it's actually a spiritual reason. You know, mm-hmm. if I hurt somebody, the way I can correct that is I have to be in the same lifetime as they are. So maybe they're a grandparent and I'm a newborn, and that's how I will make the correction, or vice versa. But I physically have to be reincarnated in as a soul group. So people tend to follow each other. And that's why you tend to have the father in one generation becoming the grandchild in the next generation, and vice mm-hmm. versa. The important thing to remember is there is something that only you can do. And nobody else. And if you don't do it, then the rest of us who have, I don't mean me, the rest of the people who have completed their tikkun and don't have to reincarnate anymore, they have to wait for you. You're holding them up. They're waiting to get to return to the endless world. They're waiting for the 1,000 years of Mashiach, and you're holding them up because you're not doing your tikkun. And also, in addition to that one action you have to do, there is the action that all of the soul roots from the same body part of Adam and Eve, that action needs to be done, but it's a group agreement. If somebody doesn't want to do it, they don't have to. Someone else in that group, in that soul part, coming from that part of the body of Adam, they'll do the action. So these are the two basic understandings. But all of the other things, the month, having a tikkun based on the month and the day of the month you were born and the parasha and all of that, those are the mistakes you've made over lifetime after lifetime. But as you correct them through knowledge and actions based on knowledge, you'll eventually get to know what is that one thing that only you can do. You'll get to the level that when somebody says to you, "Can you give me a glass of water?" and you don't want to, you'll realize that it's something that you have to do as a correction, and you'll do it. And then you won't have to reincarnate anymore. Any other questions?
I have one more question.
Okay.
If you're supposed to have one more question for now. So the main idea is do what's hard for you.
Correct.
Do what's hard because where your tikkun is. So So how does that fit in with using the talents that you were given? The things that are easier for you but harder for some, should you not even worry about? Well, you need to do that too, or no? Even though it doesn't have anything to do with your tikkun.
Even within the things you were given that make it easier for you to do, you'll always have something that's more difficult within that. You haven't yet had the class called relativity. But when you have that class, you'll begin to understand it.
Okay. I know, I'm such a baby at all of it.
Mm-hmm. I guess an example of that would be the little girl that I'm having to watch get off the bus and keep her for about 30 minutes. I mean, I have all the years of experience as a teacher, but I really didn't want to do that. But I felt I was supposed to do it. And I'm ending up doing a little lesson with her every day. So, in a way, I have the training, but that was still something I didn't want to do.
You have the training, you have the experience. It's easy for you to be a teacher, but it's something you didn't want to do. Exactly what, very good explanation. It's a very good example. You know, there's somebody who runs fast. But the day that he's expected to make his tikkun, where he'll be given that opportunity, that particular day he's going to be tired and doesn't feel like running.
But he's the one to do it because he's a fast runner.
The fact that he's a fast runner is a hint to him that he needs to do something, correct something from the sin that Adam did. If we use the metaphor of the tree, Adam had to walk up to the tree. So his legs performed an aspect of the sin different than his mouth, who ate the fruit. So their actions were different. Their corrections are different. The fact that he's a fast runner is a hint to him that he comes from the legs of Adam. So his tikkun is going to be something to do with walking up to the tree. It's going to something to do with transportation. It's something to do with travel. I mean, I can go on and develop all the different adjectives related to legs walking up to the tree.
Right.
But if you don't know that you come from the legs of Adam, you will never know what is your tikkun. Even if you know to do what's hard for you, you'll never be given the permission and the situation that allows you to complete your tikkun. You have to understand that life, a lifetime is you do a tikkun in that lifetime, but it isn't necessarily the tikkun for all of your lifetimes. Because you may have availed yourself so much that they can only let you do so much in one lifetime.
Okay.
But not to feel badly or fearful about that. Ultimately, everyone will achieve their tikkun, and as we get closer to the year 6000, people will find it more, the ability to do your full tikkun that truly corrects those two aspects that I've spoken about. You'll find those will become easier to find, easier to learn, easier to know, and that's part of the reason why Kabbalah is being revealed in our generation, because our generation needs this information to achieve its tikkunim. Any other questions? Tomorrow night, well, at 8:30 tonight, we have our class in Esther Sefirot. You're all welcome to join us. And then tomorrow night is the Advanced Reincarnation, and I can't stress how important that is enough. Please join us. 10 p.m. Thursday has been canceled because of the holiday. And then Saturday night at 10 p.m. will be a Zohar class. Sunday morning at 10:30 will be a class on science and Torah. And I think you'll find that to be very interesting.
Hanok, this is Angela.
Yes.
And we've enjoyed your lesson tonight from our sukkah. We're in the sukkah
Baruch
listening
Hashem.
To you.
Baruch Hashem.
And I didn't...
You should dwell in it. Continue to dwell in it. You only...
Well,
you only have 72 hours left.
Did you hear that?
No, please say again.
Well, in the, we would dwell in the sukkah if the mosquitoes weren't as big as cows.
But you know, I haven't asked a question. And I appreciate the humor. I truly do. But you haven't asked the question.
What question?
Why did God create the mosquito?
Mm-mm. Why?
I don't know. I never asked the question before. So I have to think about it. But I can tell you why it created the fly.
Tell me why.
God created the fly so that you would be busy with him. He's a tool of the negative side, and he bothers you. You keep brushing him away, and he keeps coming back. And the same thing applies to the mosquito. It buzzes around, and you get busy with him.
You know, we have a
You know how to remove mosquitoes?
No, how?
It's an illusion. Why are you even worried?
Well, I tell you what we say here in Texas. You don't kill them, because when you kill one, you got five cousins that come to the funeral.
But now you know why God created mosquitoes. And you know how to get rid of them. Just don't let them bother you. Ignore them. And they'll go away.
Well, I had an earwig show up in my bathroom the other day. And I ask it why. Well, it's a little long. I don't know. Do you know what a silverfish is?
That yes, eats, I know what a silverfish
eats paper.
Is.
Well, it's about the size of a silverfish. It kind of moves like a silverfish, but it's black. And most of the time, they, from what I understand, they like to go in those holes along the foundation of your house.
Yeah.
Well, one was in my bathroom. Well, I remembered what you said, so I didn't try to kill it. I just told it what was it doing in my house when I had made the announcement that any bug that came in my house, they were not welcome, but that I'd let it go, wasn't going to step on it. The next morning, that little silverfish was dead. I mean, not silverfish, little... earwig. It's called an earwig. It was dead.
The insect.
And so I picked it up with a piece of tissue and, you know, went and put it in the trash can. I wanted to make sure it wasn't still living. If it was still living, I was going to go put it outside. But I thought, huh, just talking to it did that to it.
No. What you don't realize is you just achieved a tikkun. Because your nature, your reactive nature, was to step on it. And you stopped it. And you went through and realized that it was something that you could elevate. There was a spark there, not a positive spark, but it needed to go away. And you were the force for doing that.
Then I felt bad. The poor little thing died. Because any time, like right now, I have a little gecko that came in. And it's loose in
and
the
now
house.
Now you're beginning to sound like the people who don't want animal sacrifice to come back. And that's why they don't want the temple.
Well, I talk about that all the time. But I don't, you know.
When you live in Louisiana.
Yeah, but I'm concerned.
I mean, the thing is, you know that they, no matter how hard you try to catch them to be able to put them outside, they don't. So I put little lids on the floor when I know one has come in with water. So at least maybe they'll look for water. And put it by the door, hoping they'll see the crack again and go back out. I guess we're getting ridiculous.
You didn't know you were a channel from Hashem to the insect.
Hmm. Well, you know,
the only place they can get water in Louisiana is from the plate that you put out for them, right? I'm being facetious.
The water faucet. Anyway, you do see you're changing our thinking, and you're causing us to experiment. And we're getting some results, so anyway. And we can laugh in the process.
Absolutely.
I'll ask you about love bugs. I was going to ask you about love bugs, but I thought it fit better into the reincarnation, so I'll wait for that question tomorrow.
Since I don't know what is a love bug.
You don't know what a love bug is, sir?
I know what the term is. I've heard the term, but I've never. I may have experienced them, but I don't really know. So,
no, if you had experienced them, you would remember.
You would know.
And they're prolific.
You're very fortunate if you don't know.
Now, see, Brandy's experiencing mosquitoes. We were experiencing love bugs, but they didn't bother. So I thought, okay, maybe my voice carried outside as well as inside.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to try it.
have a beautiful Sukkot. Enjoy.
Okay,
we'll speak to you in about a little less than an hour and a half.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night, Hanok.